Nice. I said, I go to Harper's Ferry and I thought about you. There were signs on the roads that warned me of stop signs. The speed limit kept decreasing by 10 as we entered a town about halfway there. It was almost raining at the train station. We put our hoods on our heads at the train station. We threw rocks into the river. The river underneath the train tracks. And when the train came, it was so big and powerful. When it came to the river.
Hello and welcome to Weekly Beats, the podcast in which two guys give you their perspective on the weekend music. My name is Charlie.
My name is Mark.
And to speak on the show, we are bringing you the latest album from Carsick Headrest. Sort of a blast from the past here, as they have re-recorded and re-released the album Twin Fantasy, which was originally put out on Bandcamp back in the early part of the decade. We've got the newest version here, and we'll tell you all our thoughts all about it on the first half of the show. Then on the back half, well, we'll take a look at the highest ranking chart on the Billboard Hot 100. This week, that title belongs to Dua Lipa, her popular song that everyone's just going nuts for, Mark. It's called New Rules.
Yeah?
It's a new no-no.
Yeah!
Yeah. Also, as a fun teaser, we'll let you know that After School Special number 3 is in the works.
It hasn't been started yet.
Yeah, yeah, Trick, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, as is tradition on the After School Specials. It's getting first billing here. It's been a long time since we've done one of these things, about a year and a half, but it's number 3 for us, where we each pull out an album that we loved as high school students. Give it a re-listen and see how it holds up by today's standards. Mark has selected Say Anything Is a Real Boy. I have selected Vampire Weekend's Contra. And then, of course, just for fun, we'll throw in another album that we both hated while we were in high school. And in case you haven't picked up yet, that title belongs to the one and only Soulja Boy, whose album SouljaBoyTellem.com.
I forgot it was called that.
It's called SouljaBoyTellem.com. That will be the tertiary focus of the After School Special. But you know what? That episode's not out yet. It's not available to you, but it will be soon. So think about maybe getting on that. For now, we just got Car Seat Headrest and Dua Lipa, huh? So let's get into it.
Yeah, can we be honest? You took an easy out with your high school choice.
What are you talking about?
You took an easy out. Everyone knows Contra's great. You're whitewashing your high school history for sure.
Well, it doesn't mean that I didn't love that album when I was in high school.
No.
My other choice was Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix, which
yeah,
is also
see,
amazing.
That is amazing. Yeah, but
sorry,
we know
I was
the dark
on
history.
On the pulse, even when I was a teenager, I had a finger on the critical wave. I knew what was good and what was bad.
Listeners need only listen to Teaching Tool episodes 1 through 3. to understand
hey,
what kind of whitewash history happened.
And Tool update, apparently, we're getting some masters in the works here that we've been waiting a long time to put vocals to these tracks. And Maynor James Keenan sent out a tweet saying, just so you know, we got some masters tracks all finalized, ready to add some vocals to it. So in the meantime, A Perfect Circles album's out on 420. That's your update for the year. See you next time.
Oh.
So it may not be long before we have to teach some more Tool, Mark.
Yeah.
Check,
oh, man.
Yeah.
So do we have to finish? We have to finish all the other albums before we would
review
that.
We got two albums to go. We still got to talk Lateralis and Undertow. Yep. It's going to happen. Yeah, Trick.
Yeah. Hey!
All right. Let's get into some Car Seat Headrest here. Mark, I picked this album this week because, you know, a year and a half ago I got lost in the deserts, surrounded by camels, and could not give Teens of Denial the proper listening experience that it deserved. Twin Fantasy has come along. Like I said, it is sort of a re-release, re-recording of a previous album. I can't think of another time when something like this happened. I've heard of, like, bands performing albums in their entirety at shows, or like just releasing the album again, maybe remastered or done in a different way. But this is like a complete restructuring from the ground up. It's like that new Shadow of the Colossus game where it's like the same thing, but it's way more shiny and polished and maybe plays a little bit better than it used to.
Yeah, do you think so? Is that what you think?
I don't know. I don't know. What do you think?
I listened to the first one. Did you listen to the original?
On Bandcamp?
Yeah, on Bandcamp.
Yeah, wow. I didn't go the whole way through, but I played some bits here and there just to see the difference in sound quality. Right. Huge difference in just the quality of the sound. Like, this is obviously professionally recorded and produced. That thing, I guess, was recorded at least partially in the backseat of someone's car, right?
Yeah, he recorded it with a laptop microphone, from what I understand.
Yeah. That's
pretty
cool.
When I say cool. He, I'm going to say this right away. So the guy, yeah. Carsey Headress, is more or less Will Toledo. Which, right. Like, everyone's just saying Will Toledo. Like, that's not the most, the greatest name.
It's pretty great. And being from Ohio ourselves, we really appreciate when someone has an Ohioan name as their last name.
Yes. And what's better about it, Charlie?
What?
Is that it's short for William Toledo.
Yes.
That's incredible. And if he wanted, he could shift things around and say, I'm Bill Toledo today. That's, you got options with that name.
He's Bill Toledo.
Don't call me O. No letters in my name have okay. O on it.
Did you listen to that old album the whole way through?
The whole way through. I listened wow. to it a couple times.
So I am not necessarily the biggest Car Seat Headrest fan in the sense that, like, people go nuts over this group. Like, they have been around since the get-go. They think this guy is, like, the indie darling of the day. He's writing the hard, relatable stuff that no one else is putting out. Certainly, right. Teens of Denial was critically acclaimed. It was released 2 years ago. I know that I certainly came around to appreciating parts of that album, even though I didn't give it the full gesture here. But I will say that Twin Fantasy has struck a chord inside of me that I am so glad I spent time listening to this thing, because there are moments on this record that brought me a sense of euphoria and optimism that I haven't felt in indie rock music in a long time. I was worried after so many releases last year and early this year from bands that I love or used to love, and just constantly having them fall flat for me, mm-hmm. never quite rising to something that's like challenging or experimental. You know, much like hip-hop and R&B has taken over the critical space these days, because the things that they're saying are just ultimately more important, more interesting, and more engaging than anything that your average, you know, white rock group can throw together here. Mm-hmm. But there is something just purely emotional and raw about the performances on this thing. I can't believe how much fun I'm having just listening to this guy sing and play his guitar. Like, that, it just rocks consistently the whole way through. And I know folks will be saying, like, yeah, we could have told you this, you know, almost a decade ago when this thing was first out, but I just had a great time with this album. I think it's just full of life and energy, a shot in the arm that I was sort of missing from this first part of the year.
Yeah, me too. As someone who liked Teens of Denial a lot, but kind of found it, I think Teens of Denial is like a really great album, but it's not necessarily for me like an essential listen. This way more has the feel of something that has to be heard, because it has this sense of urgency to it. Like, the thing with listening to the first album, which is nowhere near as good as the re-record, is that because it's so focused around this first relationship, and it's very ambitious, but it's very, I think, kind of headstrong in its sound, and like, obviously, William Toledo having the ability to record like a 16-minute song as like an 18-year-old kid, 19-year-old kid, is impressive. But there's less of a sense of how to balance the urgency and the sort of more methodical, reflective nature of his lyricism. Whereas in this, it feels like all of the lessons that you learn into your mid-20s, like the feeling of like leaving high school when you're 18 and starting to come to terms with, well, I have a relationship with my parents that is not set in stone, that's something that can shift, or like relationships mean something now, it's not just what kid in high school that I'm like, you know, hanging out with, and like the world is no longer a series of objectives that you know you have to kind of conquer. Suddenly things are wide open. There's a similar sense of wading through the world, but with a steadier hand when you're 25. that's a different kind of yearning. So the idea that you're listening to these 18-year-olds' thoughts through the experience of a 25-year-old, like all that reflection, it's like there's something so self-loving about it, something yeah. so real feeling about it. It feels so connected, and I just feel like William Toledo really loves himself, and he loves us, and he wants the world to know.
Yeah, I think that sense of positivity is infectious, and I think especially considering that a lot of the lyrics on the song are more dark and depressing, and certainly the topics of the content here are. I think he also mentioned that when he was first recording this thing, he saw this album's narrative, because it is a very clear narrative here with a start and a finish. He saw it as a tragedy, that it's only a negative outcome. But right. now that he's grown older, he's saying it's not that at all, that there is just, you know, experience and life that you're getting through.
Yeah. I mean, that's because when you're, you know, 18, there's only so much in front of you that you can see, and there's only so right. much you can know about the people you're connected with.
Your frame of reference is so small that you can't
right.
make connections in the way you would need to.
Yeah. And, like, I think the even the album artwork not changing at all of this image.
I love it.
It's so good. This, like, crudely drawn, like, fox dad and his fox son, and they're holding each other. Think about what you're being held by a loved one means when you're 18 versus when you're old enough to understand what that person had to do, because now you have to do those things. Your ability to love feels less like a raw nerve when you get older, but it's so much more comprehensive and useful in the world. And it's something about that just really got my eggs in my basket, you know?
Totally. So we get the sort of overture to the album with My Boy, which I think is just a great opener here. It really sets the scene, full of energy, full of power, but it sets the stage for what is the longest song on the album. And I think most folks would say this is really the centerpiece. It's a shame it comes only on track two, but it is a wallop of a song with Beach, Life, and Death. So many movements inside of this thing, so much emotion, some fantastic lyrics, great climactic emotional moments. I think this thing is like a perfect encapsulation of what Car Seat Headrest's sound is all about.
Totally. It's amazing. Although I will say, I think Famous Prophets is like 17 minutes.
Oh, is it longer?
Yeah, it's, and I, to be honest with you, that's a track I kind of feel the, I feel it's,
you feel the length there,
a little bit, maybe feel a little bit, but oh my God, Beach Life into Death is William Toledo's greatest accomplishment as far as I'm concerned.
This is the one, this is the ringing endorsement right here.
Yeah, it speaks to his, like ability to be both in the moment, super simple. He's writing indie rock that's straight ahead and from the heart and totally accessible, but structurally it's so complex. There's sudden shifts in time signature. The aesthetic will change out of nowhere. Yeah. And it's like it's this mini epic that is totally down to earth and good. And all of the lyrics that are kind of cringy on the 2011 version, that it's like, well, yeah, you're definitely 18. Like, I get it. I see where it come from. I relate, but at the same time, I relate from a different place. Like, mm-hmm. they feel so much more reflective now. So Beach Life to Death is just William Toledo did great. It's just great.
Great job. Let's read some of those great lyrics. I love this part with, I pretended I was drunk when I came out to my friends. I never came out to my friends.
Yeah.
We were all on Skype and I laughed and changed the subject. And she said, what's with this dog motif? And I said, do you have something against dogs?
Yeah, that's great.
Next bit, I am almost completely soulless. I am incapable of being human. I am incapable of being inhuman. I am living uncontrollably. It should be anti-depression, as a friend of mine suggested, because it's not the sadness that hurts you. It's the brain's reaction against it.
Right.
Which gets back to that great line from the opener to Teens of Denial that I love so much. You've got no right to be depressed. You haven't tried hard enough to like it.
Yeah.
And then we get that amazing, like, so all of this, like, stream of consciousness thought of, like, who he is and what he isn't. And then we get this, like, kind of cut, and he just lets out with this, I don't want to go insane. And the guitar starts going over the top, just shredding. Oh, yeah. Man. It's a series of climactic moments, and it's track two on this album. It's great.
I know. And it's so good because it just levels you out right after the fact, too. I like the part where he talks about cutscenes, how he wants a cutscene, and then he wants to cut from his face to their face, and then just something in between, some reward. It's just a tip to toe is a great thing.
Does that count as a video game reference? Saying I want a cutscene.
Sure. Is there cutscenes in anything else?
Not that I know of.
It's like not in a movie doesn't cut from the movie to the other right. movie that looks crappier, which would be awesome if it did.
Some poorly 3D realized artist's rendering of the yeah. test footage. I don't know.
Man, Black Panther Let's play is a little... weird at the end.
Yeah. Oh my god. Look at that. Wakanda got all goofy looking. I don't remember building being there at all.
Wakanda's draw distance sucks in the last hour.
Why do his eyes look like that?
Why is one of the characters in the background just standing with their arms in a T pose? What's happening?
Let's play just a bit from Beach Life and Death. You're only getting a snippet of this thing, but here's a taste of what it's like.
I agree with William Toledo. I don't want to have schizophrenia either.
No, I don't think anyone does. Yeah. I just realized that the Daddy Fox has little tiny Daddy Fox nipples.
Yeah, dude. I like that.
Me too.
I love his nipples.
They're a little tiny.
Well, let's look at his proportions. He's all kinds of weird to look at, but that's just how he is, man.
Yeah. Beach Life and Death.
Yeah, that's one of the best rock songs of the year right there. I'm calling it now.
Bold statement.
I'm saying it. Like, the guitar work in that song, it feels... This is what's missing, Charlie. This is what's missing from all the rock songs you were just talking about, where just a bunch of kids with some money in a studio. This is what's different, is William Toledo's... It's compassionate. Is that what you said?
There is no passion in it.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like the guitar feels like it's escaping from the player. It doesn't feel even thought out or considered. It feels like right. an emotional response to something that's happening right now there in front of you. That's something that's really cool, missing a lot from music.
You feel like if he didn't say, I don't want to go insane like that, he actually would go insane. So it's like he is actively trying to fight against that.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah. Well, I'll say what, that's a great leadoff opener to this album. But I also think there are some amazing high points on this thing. And we got a 1-2 punch on this album that is just, for me, something I kept playing over and over again, just these two songs back to back. And that's Bodies into Cute Thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, you're missing Nervous Young Inhumans there, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, it's a good one. Oh. But it's a good one. But these two, Mark, let's play a little bit from Bodies and then go into Cute Thing. So it's got that, like, really specific guitar lick that's almost Strokes-like.
Yeah.
And I love the polish on that song. I love a lot of the lyrics there. It's got a ton of energy. Again, climactically, leads out into the end with that chorus, "Don't you realize our bodies could fall apart any second?
Yeah.
I'm terrified your body could fall apart any second. Those are some nice shadows, or some nice shoulders. I'd like to put my hands around them."
Oh, I like it even better as shadows.
Yeah.
It's very goth. Are you goth now?
No.
Oh, why? Was that offensive? You don't like goths?
We'll talk about it on the after school special.
Okay. That's, okay.
But it's, I almost got feelings of like the Flaming Lips here with the Do You Realize thing, you know, like,
yeah,
it's this youthful, hey, once in a lifetime kind of experience here. You got to take advantage of it before it's gone forever. And just the brightness of the electric guitar along with his intensive vocal performance. It's just pure joy for me. Pure yeah. optimism. Just, it kicks butt. It's the most euphoric I felt listening to a rock song in a long time.
Totally. And what, you know, I think one important element of why it feels so explosive and right, why William Toledo is our champion, is because there's like a certain muddying of the waters. Like, there's a million songs that you and I listen to, like, all the time on the show that are like, well, you're young, you have to take advantage of the moment, you know, like, just, we're young tonight, who cares? Like, there's a million songs like that. But what separates Car Seat Headrest's message from the majority of the other musicians who go down that path narratively is that he explicitly acknowledges the kind of ugly ways in which that is true, the way that you're awkward and spindly and it's uncomfortable and you're not sure who you are. You're kind of stumbling into your own self and you don't fully understand why you are the way you are or what that means. And so that urgency has some kind of darker edges to it too, which is important to understanding those kinds of experiences and those nights. It's not being like a teenager and desperately in love is not actually the best thing. It just feels like it because it's like a drug in your brain. And yeah. if you're manic, that only accentuates the experience. But those are things that you need to consider to like fully grasp the heart of the matter, I think. It's really down to earth, I think.
Sure. And tons of personality more in these lyrics where he says, well, so what? We're young, we're thin, most of us, and we're alive, most of us.
Most of us. Yeah.
It's great. I love it. But then it goes right into the next track, which is Cute Thing.
Good Thing.
I love that opening.
Yeah. That's because that's an amazing opening, Charlie.
Yeah. Yeah. I apologize. I got so romantic. But what I love most, and this is what actually got me to go back to that original album, was the instrumentals on Cute Thing. I'm like, there's no way they tried to do something like this in the previous one. And the chords are there. But when they right. get this like synth thing going on, yeah. this keyboard stuff, oh my God. God, it's gorgeous. It's like really great instrumental stuff from someone that's like all about fuzz and guitars. Like this is like an over layering of just this beautiful keyboard piece that feels like it's almost Vampire Weekend like in nature. I love the way this thing sounds. I'll try to get a little bit of it here. Again, more pure euphoria distilled into a song. Like, you throw that on and you just can't help but smile like a crazy person.
Yeah. And feel in the moment with William Toledo.
Yes.
You know?
It's like, all about that complete, like, I get exactly what he's going for. I feel right, exactly right. what he's feeling.
I mean, I haven't felt so... It's amazing, Charlie, that we are recording Afterglow Special 3 right... as we just listened to this by coincidence, because I haven't listened to an album, like a new release, that so easily yanked me back into that teenage state of mind than this one.
Yeah.
It's what a 1-2 combo we've stumbled into.
We did it.
Now, I want to take a step back here because I would like to celebrate Nervous Young Inhumans a little bit. I don't want to leave that stone untouched.
Okay.
Because let's just be frank here with one another, Charlie. William Toledo has written From My Boy at least to Cute Thing, and flawless rock record. Just every single track is a new amazing discovery. Even the little stopgap moment in Stop Smoking, where it's just to kind of level you out, it continues the narrative a little bit, and we're going to call back to the Stop Smoking idea later. It's so important to have done that right after Beach Life and Death. And it's besides just allowing you some breathing space after an epic song, it also adds to what you're experiencing and some of the quieter, more intimate moments that are important to the album.
It helps to bolster the narrative. It adds some characterization to his story.
Right. No waste of time. For an album that seems so like it's indulging in itself with these long tracks, there really is very little waste of time in any of them. Except, in my opinion, a little bit in Famous Professors, but it's a little like 17.
You keep coming across like you're ashamed to be saying that. Like you're like, whispering.
Because it's so good, but I just, we're going to be honest, it's just a little bit long and then you get the Famous Prophets. But Nervous Young Inhumans. So the original track, which maybe I'll go ahead and, pull up here, it's, I think, one of the tracks, like you were talking about how the keyboard part, it almost feels like he would have never, regardless of budget or tools, would have stumbled into that keyboard riff the way he is now. Like, there's something beautiful about it in a way that feels maybe more grounded than an 18-year-old would write. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I kind of feel that way about the way Nervous Young Inhumans manifests itself. So, let me play the original track, just the opening, and we'll kind of feel the difference between the two.
Okay.
So the original's 4 minutes long. So you can kind of hear William Toledo kind of have the very Strokes feeling vibe of having all this urgency, but needing to pull himself back in the track a little bit. Like, you can't just be a raw nerve in the song. So contrast that with this new 2018 version.
Okay.
Like, every element of that song. So, first of all, the keyboard part in that is amazing. It's probably the most mainstream kind of feeling song that he's ever written, William Toledo. But it also, like, it reinforces something. It I don't know, it distances you somehow from everything and then pulls you back in. And when you listen to the original track, he's, for a good reason, kind of like fuzzing up his voice, probably because the microphone sounds like complete and utter garbage.
Yeah.
But there's also kind of an effect it has where he feels like, well, I'm being so kind of quiet. That's how you're going to relate to me. And he does build later on in the track with his vocals. But listen to how he isolates his voice in the new track. And it's like literally every element of this track is his vulnerability. Every instrument is all there to reinforce feeling and vulnerability. And there is no smokescreen in front of that, which is what gives it that urgency. And it's, I don't know, I really liked contrasting those two because I felt like it was one of the clearest examples of maturity and how you divulge your own inner thoughts, I guess.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And that keyboard riff reminds me of the Killers a lot. It's a very Killer sounding riff.
Can I tell you that anytime I talk for more than a minute at a time and someone responds with, oh, that makes sense, I am like filled with relief because I'm so sure it didn't.
That's what I'm here for, emotional and moral support, making sure that it. You constantly make sense.
Good.
So far, so good.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we got three tracks then to close it out. High to Death, which is a contrast to Sober to Death. Famous Prophets, Stars, and Twin Fantasy, Those Boys.
Right. We got a real mirror image thing going on with William Toledo, don't you think?
He's all about that symmetry, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I like High to Death quite a bit. It's, but it, like, for me, I just don't think I would ever pull High to Death or Famous Prophets or those boys out of the album. I think they're very fitting and good, but this Famous Prophets a little long.
Is there a specific moment where you're feeling that length? If I just drop the track somewhere, you feel the length?
No, because none of it's bad. It's just a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot, and you start to, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I just start to lose a little patience, because the thing with these epic length songs is that they are like new thoughts in the same space. So like Beach to Death, or Beach Life and Death rather, has a perfect balance of like, here's all of the elements of this situation and this story, and we're gonna be, there's a lot of peaks and valleys, but like we just sit a long time with any one of those moments in Famous Prophets, and at a certain point I'm kind of wondering if we need to get the point across.
Yeah.
And I don't want to have to be thinking
either way. Yeah.
Yes,
I hear that. Yeah, I think it maybe is just a touch long, and so those longer tracks do tend to carry a lot of that weight. But I like the way in which a lot of these lyrics come back again, you know, motifs and stuff. Like you mentioned, the stop smoking. Later on, it becomes keep smoking, and the my boy comes back around in the very end. It feels, again, what I love in an album, something that is thoroughly composed, that it's not just an assemblage of songs. There is a cohesive artistic statement that is being made by this album. And the cohesive statement is adolescence is challenging and overwhelming, but also euphoric in places. And man, if it didn't just get me right in the emotional place this past week and make me want to think about all the years that have gone by.
Yeah, did you think about that a lot?
I did, and for other reasons too, as I reviewed the steps to Crank That by Soulja Boy, which I've been practicing in my spare time, so I got it right.
Oh, I would love to see that.
Yeah. You got to crank three times left to right.
Okay. I've just been practicing my, like, oh, I've been practicing that.
You!
Right.
Some of that. All right. Well, that's Twin Fantasy. What are your highlights, Mark?
Well, let me just be upfront and clear. I'm taking four. Don't be silly.
Don't be a doof.
Don't be a doofus. Be a gallant, not a goofus, right?
Okay.
I'm going to take Beach Life and Death. I mean, let's be honest. That's one of the best songs of the year. I'm taking...
Calling it in February. One of the best songs of the year.
I would love to be proven wrong. If we get so many rock songs this year that like top this out, it will be the best year in rock. That's so good. I would love to be proven wrong. Nervous Young and Humans, I gotta take that. Even considering the last half of the track is this long extended like monologue where he's like explaining things and asking his friend if he's still on the line. I actually kind of like that too.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna take Bodies, and I'm gonna take Cute Thing.
Well, Mark, I think we're going to run it back because I'm taking the same four.
No kidding.
Yeah, but not in that order. I think Nervous Young and Humans, four. I might actually put Beach Life and Death, number three, Bodies and Cute Thing, two and one.
Oh, my God.
I love that piano bit in Cute Thing. That thing just, it gets me in the soft spot every time. I get emotional when I hear it. I'm like, it sounds so good. How does that sound so good?
Oh, I relate to you. But do remember the part where he says he doesn't want to go insane.
That's
and
also
then talks
a great
about
moment.
Coming out to his friends over Skype. Just remember those.
But he didn't.
This choice. But he didn't, I know. Right. But remember.
Yeah.
Remember when he changed the subject on Skype.
Yeah. Do you have a problem with cats?
No.
It's a great album, man. It's one of those ones that comes along and just rejuvenates your love for the genre and for kicking
each
it
other
with guitars and teenagers, and man, Twin Fantasy. Check it out.
William Toledo is my Twin Fantasy.
Okay, let's make it happen. We'll take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll be dissecting the latest from Dua Lipa. So stay tuned.
Trouble controlling my own limbs. Steal your gold from my parents and grandparents. There's no devil on one shoulder, angel on the other. They're just two normal people.
All right, we are back and ready to dive into the latest from the Billboard Hot 100. This week it's new rules from Dua Lipa.
New rule. If you're gonna release a Billboard Hot 100 song, be sure to be at least a little culturally ignorant, okay?
Where is Singa Lipa, not Dua Lipa, or
Duolingo? Lipa. Are we just gonna listen to the sounds of Duolingo? Did that make it to the Hot 100?
I don't know. Maybe. Let me do some research here on our lady. Dua Lipa is an English singer. She is from the land of the Ingles. She got her start from YouTube, started covering songs on her channel at the age of 14, and this is her self-titled debut studio album, which was released last summer with the singles Be The One and IDGAF. Mm. She is 22 years old, and she's here to steal your heart, Mark.
Mine?
Yours and America's.
Which single is this?
It's called New Rules.
Oh, right. Just thought about that. Listen, we're on a hot 100 streak right now because every song we've covered I've actually kind of liked the last couple of weeks. I'm my heart is open.
Okay. Well, the year of no bummers, you know how I feel.
Yeah. I'm ready.
Yeah. All right. Here we go.
Talking in my sleep at night, making myself crazy. Out of my mind, out of my mind. Wrote it down and read it out, hoping it would save me. Too many times, too many times. My love, he makes it feel like nobody else.
Hmm. I did not expect that kind of voice coming from her.
Why not?
I just feel like it's way deeper than a lot of the modern female pop vocalists, you know, like getting into the, you know, your Camila Cabello's, your Havana's, where it's all very breathy and airy. She's got a deeper sound that's closer to Adele than anyone else, I think.
Camila Cabello should release a camouflage line for Cabela's called Camila Cabello's Cabela Camos.
Cabamo.
Cabamos.
Cabamos.
There's too many words. I literally can't memorize more than two words at a time, so it was really trying hard for me.
According to Rap Genius, New Rules is about moving on from an ex and how you need to stay away from them. The narrator needs to treat themselves like they would a friend with their own advice.
Right.
Thank you so much for being a massive part of hashtag Dua's New Rules. I guess it's a thing now.
Yeah, it's a movement.
Yeah.
So kind of an interesting little bit in the production there. Sometimes I feel like a lot of these sort of EDM inspired or straight up EDM pop songs often are only distinguished by one gimmicky sound. Like they're totally the same, like five songs, but you get one little weird sound in there to set yourself apart, you know, similar vocals. And I kind of couldn't help but notice the sort of scraping percussion that was happening there in the verse. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if that's going to be the aesthetic.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not totally hating it from the start here. Might like to see where it goes going forward.
Yeah, her vocals are doing a lot. Like, definitely not sticking in one spot, which is nice. If you're going to have a song about something like a difficult feeling. Although I have to say, this is such a tough follow-up. All the emotions I just felt Twin Fantasy and then just to slide into this, it's going to be a tough win.
Right. We've got some approved annotations from singer-songwriter Emily Warren on here as well, so we'll get into that in a bit.
Elizabeth Warren?
No, Emily Warren.
Oh.
Sorry to disappoint you.
I'm a little disappointed.
All right, let's keep going. Nobody else but my love. He doesn't love me, so I tell myself, I tell myself. One, don't pick up the phone. You know he's only calling because he's drunk and alone. Two, don't let him in. You have to kick him out again. Three, don't be his friend. You know you're gonna wake up in his bed in the morning. And if you're under him, you ain't getting over him. I got no.
That's true enough.
Okay.
Something about that line really tickles me. I like that.
We got some rules, Mark.
New rule. One, don't pick up the phone. You know he's
don't
only calling because he's drunk and alone.
Don't pick it up. Two, don't let him in. That sounds like the rule of
the
every
vampire.
Horror film. Don't let him in. Don't let him in.
New rule. Three, don't be his friend. If you're going to wake up in his bed in the morning, if you're under him, you ain't getting over him. Believe
that's
me, not, sister. I would know.
Like something like some character's sassy aunt would say in a movie. Like,
yeah.
Or grandma that's a little bit too open with her sexual right. past is giving advice to the family. Like, if you under him, you ain't getting over him. Like,
yeah.
Grandma. Oh, my God. Don't embarrass me in front of my friends.
That's Medea right there.
Yeah. So we got some annotations for these rules. On the first rule, okay, here's the annotation. Her first rule is to not listen to him when he calls her. He's calling her drunk to say all the things she wants to hear, like that he actually loves her, but only to manipulate her so he can get what he wants. Colon sex. He's aware
colon
of
sex.
Colon sex. No, the punctuation mark, colon sex.
Hey. I'm sorry, I know it's late, but... Oh, I missed that colon.
Colon sex.
Rule number one.
She's aware of the manipulation, but still wants to believe his act. Alcoholics can be more manipulative and have abandonment issues. So it's not surprising that he only does this when he's drunk. And there's a link to liverdoctor.com, which says page not found.
Oh, man.
I don't know why alcoholics, I guess the drunkenness is in there, but.
Yeah, I don't know. There seems like something of a
personal nature in the annotator.
Yeah, maybe the annotator has had some colon sex difficulties in their life and is letting that out in the forum of Rap Genius.
Rule number two. The second rule progresses from rule one about not taking a phone call. Now it's about not letting him into her house or into her head. Dua has shown in other lyrics that she's no stranger to being subconsciously controlled by her parents. What?
What are you talking about?
There's a link to a song called Be the One. I don't know.
Okay, I thought for sure you're going to say it's a link to liverdoctor.com.
No, unfortunately, it isn't. Not this one.
It's like, were all these annotations written by Liver Doctor?
Honestly. These rules could be viewed as a story progressing from one to the other, i.e. she broke the first rule by answering the phone. But the next line of protection is not to let him into her house. She fails this because she has to kick him out again. Alluding to that, he doesn't comply when Dua asks him politely or hints to him that he needs to leave. If she fails to let him out of her life, then the next stage kicks in. Colon. Emotional connection. And finally, sex.
Colon emotional connection.
Ken Ming also responds, says, because she's not picking up her phone, her ex shows up at her door saying he wants to talk, but we all know what he's really looking for. Last time she picked up the phone, he was drunk and alone. Last time she let him in, she had to kick him out. He's not leaving voluntarily until he gets what he came for.
Her colon.
Emily Warren has the annotation for rule number three. This is a reminder to not be fooled. It's pretty hard to be friends with someone you've broken up with, as the lines can tend to get blurred.
Yeah, I have to disagree with the annotator a little bit. It seems to me that she's breaking them one at a time. Not that she kept rule one in place, but then he was outside her house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's like trying. She's setting up a series of barriers that he's breaking down. Like, she's letting him break down, right?
Right.
It's weird, the idea that she would say, come over, and then he gets there and she won't open the door. I don't know. It doesn't seem like what's happening in the song.
Hmm. Well, the last line has the annotation, Dua Lipa uses clever wordplay here. She's referring to the common sex position missionary, where the woman is lying underneath the man.
What's that?
Oh, well, there. Okay. If you click on the link, Mark, you'll see a very graphic illustration of what it looks like whenever the man is on top of the woman.
Of faceless husks of thin, transparent humans.
Yeah.
Okay. That's like, something's unsettling about that image. I don't like that.
Some clever wordplay, though.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, that's some sassy ant material right there.
Yeah. All right, let's continue on.
Pushing forwards, but he keeps pulling me backwards.
No way to turn.
Now I'm standing back from it. I finally see the pattern.
All right, let's talk about that chorus.
Let's get into that chorus.
So
we got a lot of the familiar EDM horns.
Right.
That do feel like are a little played at this point. Yeah.
The lyrics are, I got new rules, I count them.
That's true.
I couldn't understand anything she was saying there.
I
really didn't like the sound of her vocals there.
Yeah, didn't care for that performance.
Yeah, the production also was very overwrought.
Intense.
Very, like, late 2000s pop song feeling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like that over-reliance on the novelty of the auto-tune.
There's a lot going on there.
Yeah, and it's kind of sucked because so many of these songs like kind of spin on just like, we know it's going to be, can it be just ever so slightly different in a catchy way? And for it to build to that kind of deflates the song for me.
Yeah, and I think for verses that were surprisingly, you know, what feel like just straightforward vocals, to lean so hard to that into the chorus is kind of jarring.
Yeah, especially because it feels so like erudite and just so like right. Such an empty space of a chorus.
It's another one of those things where, you know, the female vocalist doing the song doesn't really matter. You could slap whoever you want on top of that and it's fine.
Slap whoever you want.
All right. Well, you can place whoever you like inside of the song and it's fine.
Charlie has this belief that he thinks he can just slap any man or woman on the street.
I got new rules, Mark.
New rule. One, I can slap anyone.
Number one, I can slap whoever I want, whenever I want. Two, if they cry, I get to slap them again. And number three, Guess.
You have to shop at Guess for all of your clothes.
You got it. I don't know. I feel like we've encountered all that we're going to encounter inside of this song. I don't see this really going other places.
Yeah, that's the thing. I feel like I'm more susceptible to EDM stuff than you are. Would you agree?
I think you got more an appreciation for it than I do.
Right. Yeah.
You like when things get weird and crazy.
especially out there in the streets, the rough and tumble of the streets.
Right.
I like when things get weird and crazy there. But I don't know. I mean, I guess this is kind of in the midway point, though, between that. Like, I'm not as much a pop guy. So, I don't know. It seems like this is a pretty middle of the road on either front.
Mm-hmm. I'm not feeling a whole lot. And I feel like I should be.
This is not Twin Fantasies. This is like solo.
No, it's Dua.
Oh, sorry. You're right. It's Dua Fantasy.
It's Dua Fantasy. Let's keep Dua-ing it.
So
Sorry to cut you off there, Duel, but man, and I feel like if not for that whack chorus, I could be okay with this thing. I do like her vocal performance when she's just all on her own. I think those verses sound pretty good. She has a strong voice, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's maybe not enough separating her vocals from other artists. I'd say that.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
For sure. Emily Warren's coming in again with the line, "But my love, he doesn't love me, so I tell myself, I do, I do, I do." She says, "When you're in the process of getting over someone, it's really easy to fall back into old patterns. The song is meant to be a self-reminder for anyone who needs it that just because you're getting whisked away in the moment, it doesn't mean it's a good idea in the long term."
That's true. You ever been whisked away in the moment?
Of course. Who hasn't?
I don't know. I can't answer that question. But I can tell you that sometimes you struggle to come up with something interesting to say about a Billboard 100 song.
I hear that.
And I wish I was being whisked away in this moment. I'm not. I'm stuck here with Duolingo.
Do you ever use Duolingo?
I have. I keep bouncing off it, though.
Yeah. I tend to do it for like a week or two at a time and then drop it for 2 months and then go back to it for another week and then drop it again.
So it's just too, like, I think I need some structure or some, like, I know they bother you. Their, like, tactic is, we'll just email the shit out of you until you decide to use the app again.
Push notifications.
Yeah, I just can't help but turn it off because it's like, the reason I'm not doing it is because I'm a busy adult. Get your owl off my notification list.
Yeah. Well, let's see if this second chorus is any different from the first. My guess is probably not. Did you hear the ghost of Anoni in that one?
I gotta rule that guy.
The ghost of Anoni.
Hi. Hey, guys.
It's a spooky time to talk about the environment. Aw, man, you're the worst ghost ever. I should be haunted by a really scary ghost, and not just one that makes you feel bad.
The real vampire not to let into your house is corporatism.
I feel like I'm getting too... I wish they could drone bomb me, but I'm an ethereal spirit caught between dimensions.
So how did that happen, Anoni? You're so down to earth. You're all about the earth. Why are you in weird space?
I can't be touched here.
Well, that's too bad. I'd love to give you a touch, Anoni. Did you see that Intel ad where all the drones fly up into space? Did you like that?
Buy some drones.
Oh no, this is the worst. This is alternate dimension of Noni. She loves drones. She unironically wrote the song Drone Bomb Me.
And then she was at a corporate show and got bought out.
Yeah. She's Anani? Anani. Unani. Oh, what I wouldn't do for a good Anoni moment right now, man. This is boring.
She got new rules. She counts them.
How many are there?
There's three. What are your three rules, Mark?
Whenever an ex calls me drunk on the phone.
Not necessarily, but you can go with that if you want.
Well, okay. First, I start crying. The second is I agree to whatever they want. The third is I enter into a badly thought out relationship that ends soon and painfully.
Okay, number two.
No, that's all three. That's one through three right there.
It's all
that's
three.
My ABCs. Yep.
Dang. Okay. I guess we have no choice but to soldier forward. Don't pick up the phone. He always only calling because he's drunk and alone. Two, don't let him in. No, 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 no. Kick him out, get him free. Don't be a stranger. You know you're gonna wake up in. This sounds kind of like something you'd hear on a television commercial for a cruise to the islands.
It's too dark, though.
Mm. Maybe it's like a cruise to Norway.
Yeah, Norway. We're calling you out. I was going to say, it sounds to me like a CW drama where like a young girl has to enter a club and it's like, oh, there's dancers here and I'm too young for that. And like, it's this song is playing and there's like sleazy people everywhere. You can tell because they have cheap suits on, you know?
Yeah.
Like a Secret Life of the American Teen kind of drama.
Yeah. For the modern age.
Do you ever see Secret Life of the American Teen?
No. Are you a fan?
I used to hate watch it with my high school girlfriend.
Did she also hate it?
Yeah, we both hated it. We'd watch every week, and we'd hate watch it.
This isn't the after-school special, Mark. You should be telling us these secrets.
I'm sorry.
No, you're please, right. Tell us the story.
It's a quick one. We would watch this show, Secret Life of American Teen, most notably for the young woman who would go on to star in The Descendants and that...
Shailene Woodley.
Yes, the non-Hunger Games.
Divergent.
Yes, Divergent.
Not the Hunger Games.
She was
Games.
The main character.
It's on the poster. It just says, not the Hunger Games.
I think it'd be more successful if it said, maybe the Hunger Games.
Maybe it's the Hunger Games.
You're 40. Could you really be sure this isn't the Hunger Games?
You know, they didn't even put out the last film for that franchise. It was supposed to be like 3 or 4 films, and they're like, we're not even going to do the last one.
No kidding. Why?
Because they tanked the box office. The Hunger Games ate up all the money, and they were like, well, I guess this is all over then.
Oh, what a bummer. That's too bad. That's like
they were going to do it as a TV movie, and Shailene Woodley is like, I'm not going to do that. So if you're going to make it a TV movie, you can find another lead actress.
Yeah.
So they're like, that's all right, rough. Fine, we're done.
Hollywood's stupid. Everything in that story I hate.
Everything whatever. Sucks and I can prove it.
Oh, yeah, okay. Now we're in After School Special territory. Getting back to
Shailene Woodley.
Shailene Woodley. We'd watched Secret Life of the American Teen, and it was maybe the most family value misogynist TV show I've ever seen.
Yes.
In the 2000s, because the concept of the show was Shailene Woodley, was pregnant because she had sex.
Out of wedlock.
And literally the whole show is everyone expressing their disappointment and like how bad of a person he is. Her friends looking down on her is like, I'll support you even though you're a whore. Like basically that.
Thanks,
thing.
Friend.
Yeah, I mean, you've said that to me, but we're still tight.
Yeah.
And
you are
but
a whore,
like,
just for the record.
I'm totally a whore.
I haven't gone back on that statement.
Well, it's just because it's true.
Right.
A whore for the billboard. But what's amazing about that show was that the show agreed with all of the people who would talk down about her. So, like, it wouldn't be like, oh, my God, what a traumatic life. It would be like, yeah, she really screwed up having sex. And
what
a
dummy.
She's a bad person. Yeah, totally. There's one episode where, like, the nerdy friend, like, goes out with a boy at, like, to a Dunkin' Donuts-style, like, restaurant, like, late at night. And her parents catch her. And she's slut-shamed by all of her parents and their friends and her church. Doesn't let her Christian church doesn't let her join anymore, doesn't go to mass anymore, because she was out with a boy at night, not because she did anything. And the resolution to that plot is she apologizes and gives up on the guy.
Wow.
The Secret Life of the American Teen was one of the worst television shows for any, like, progressivism, and there's a lot of people who watched it.
That sounds like we got another after-school special on our hands.
It sounds like we need to do a podcast where we do episode by episode breakdown of Secret Life of the American Teen.
Classic. The final outro here, the lyrics are, don't be his friend, don't let him in. Don't be his friend, don't let him in.
He's the Babadook.
Emily Warren says, this is a reminder not to be fooled. It's pretty hard to be friends with someone you've broken up with as the lines can tend to get blurred. She said this already before.
Well, hey, Elizabeth Warren, I'm that person I hate watch Secret Life of America TV. She's my good friend. We hung out the other day. We
yeah,
totally
why don't you run
kosher.
For Congress?
Yeah. Why don't you... Yeah. Yeah, what Charlie said.
All right.
Okay.
You're getting over
him. We banished Anoni's ghost.
We exorcised that demon.
Yeah. Who are you going to call?
Not Anoni.
Wow.
She will come of her own choosing.
That's my motto.
Are you taking it on your list, Mark?
I can't bring myself. I don't hate the song.
Yeah,
it doesn't bug me.
Same,
but...
same. That chorus is just weird.
I can't bring myself to have to hear that.
Yeah. I will get sick of hearing that chorus if I hear it again like 3 times in the next 2 months.
I'm one listen away from hating that song. Let's not put things on edge here.
Okay. Fair enough. So it's a thumbs down. Ruining the Billboard streak. We had a good thing going for a little while there, but good things aren't meant to last.
That's dark, Charlie.
It's not a bummer. Only good things. Posy vibes. No bummers.
Good things aren't meant to last. Says the year of no bummers, Charlie.
All right. Well, Mark, do you have anything else you've been listening to this week?
Oh, yeah, I actually do. I have a couple things.
All right, talk us through.
Not too much. Not too much. So I guess I'll just briefly say, like I said, I listened to the first Twin Fantasy. Just a quick word on that versus Car Seat Headrest re-record is... It's a good album. It's good the whole way through. I think there's an undeniable teenage quality to it that makes it really listenable and fun. But at the same time, that new version is so much better. I just don't have a reason to revisit any of those old tracks. I don't think.
I hear you.
You know. I listened to. Let me pull up my list here. I listened to. All Hail West Texas by the Mountain Goats.
Sounds violent.
Which was, occasionally it's a little bit violent. Which is a pretty interesting pair with Car Seat Headrest's original Twin Fantasies, actually, because it was recorded in Mountain Goat Man. What's his name?
John Darnielle.
Yeah, John Darnielle. It was recorded in his bedroom, like, over the course of, like, a weekend or something when he was, like, bored. And so it's a bunch of acoustic songs, but I feel like there's something really cool about it. Like, he is such a good storyteller. And there's this sort of like Midwest, like fatigue and beauty and angst in it. I'm going to play a quick clip of, the best ever death metal band out of Denton.
Okay.
Death metal band out of Denton with a couple of guys who'd been friends since grade school. One was named Cyrus, the other was Jeff, and they practiced twice a week in Jeff's bedroom. The best ever death metal band out of Denton. Never settled on a name, but the top three contenders after weeks of debate were Satan's Fingers and the Killers and the Hospital Bombers.
Killers is already
it's
taken.
Kind of it was already taken. This is like an older album though. I think this preceded the Killers.
Wow. Brendan Flowers heard that and's like, that's a good name, we have to be that.
Oh, that is a good name. I like that name.
I like the Hospital Bombers.
That's pretty messed
not
up.
Not as
yeah.
good as Satan's Fingers.
I actually really uncomfortable. Satan's Fingers. Not as good as Mammoth Grinder.
Like to eat a basket of Satan's Fingers.
Now!
My favorite holiday cookie.
I'm Satan, and I disagree.
We got some snickerdoodles, and some oatmeal raisin, and some Satan's fingers.
Oh, what's in the Satan's finger?
Just try one.
Okay, I'll put it in my mouth. It kind of tastes like the tortured soul of a billion years.
You got it! It's an oni!
Oh, no! What are we saying about an oni on the show?
I mean a cookie!
Eat me.
Does that mean I should or I shouldn't?
Eat me.
I can never tell with you, an oni. Are you being serious or are you being sarcastic?
Eat me!
I think it's sarcasm.
Do
you know how warm that oven was when she made those cookies? Do you know how warm it was?
How warm was
it's
it?
It's only 4 degrees.
That's not very warm at all.
I know.
These cookies taste like crap. I hate it.
You have to freeze them.
Anoni, your cookies are just dough. Oh,
that's enough of that bit. I'm done.
Okay, we're done. Goodbye. Exercised. So one thing I like in the song is it's a feel-good song where everyone in this small town thinks these guys are really lame for being a death metal band. And everyone, they have to work at like a supermarket. And they have normal jobs and normal people, but they just love metal and have a dream. And people walk all over them. And so the conclusion of the song is them being on stage and none of that matters because they get to play what they love. And it's just John Darnielle just heroically saying Hail Satan over and over. And I just want to get that captured okay. here.
Hail Satan tonight. Hail Satan. Hail, hail.
Yeah. I actually like the album a lot. It's really down to earth. It's really good. There's a track in there called Blues in Dallas that almost sounds like it's happening in a supermarket. Just so rural and I don't know, filled with feeling. It's a really great album.
You're crushing on the mountain goats these days, man.
I read that book and I couldn't stop with the Darnielle. I listened to Little Dark Age by MGMT.
Ooh, what do you think about it?
I've had some time with it. I listened to it like 3 times just trying to figure out how I feel.
Yeah, I had kind of a similar problem.
Yeah, I kind of am where you stood on it. Something about it is so... I don't want to say it's derivative, because it's not necessarily derivative, but it sounds just like a very slightly weirder version of all the late 70s, 80s like revival stuff, where it's like synthy and kind of radio-y. I kind of compare it to Aerial Pink a little bit. It just kind of feels just there. Some of the singles are good, but I don't feel the need to listen to them anymore. So I don't know. MGMT is an extremely weird band.
Yeah. Did you end up liking Me and Michael? Okay.
Yeah, it's a good song.
Yeah.
It's a good song.
I think When You Die is pretty good too.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't dislike listening to it, but like I don't know,
it's just not super
interesting.
It's
just not there.
Yeah
It's just not connected. There's no like driving force behind the music. There's no like overall artistic statement with which to hang your hat on,
right?
And it's like when you listen to their second album, it just sounds so different from the first, and it's this weird combination of this sort of like synthy folk music that, even though I found the album to be kind of like middling and not very interesting, the idea of it at least was kind of like, well, they're trying something radically new and I can respect that. But with this album, it almost feels a little too much like it sounds like everything else. Like it's not weird enough. It's just unclear to me what took them in this direction.
Yeah, I don't really know. It's a bizarre thing I'm trying to grapple with, and I'm leaving not really feeling super negative or super positive about it. I don't know.
Right.
Cool. Anything else?
Yeah, so I tried desperately to understand free jazz for no reason.
Oh, yeah. You were talking about this last week.
Yeah. I listened to 3 albums. So, okay. I started with unit structures. In case anyone's unfamiliar, you're probably actually better to describe free jazz than I am. Could you give a description of free jazz?
It's jazz music that is free.
Like, you don't have to pay for
it? As I understand it, it is completely free.
Okay. A lot of structureless going all over the place. All musicians in the group are all in their own thing, doing their own thing. Not a lot of pre-written stuff, as I understand it, right?
Yeah. I don't have a whole lot of experience, but I was doing some work as a jazz saxophonist for a time and studying with some folks, and we had some free jazz experimental time where, like, at one point the professor was like, we're going to shut the lights off in here, all right? It was like me, a trumpet player, a bass player, a piano player, and a drum set player. And he's like, I just want you guys just to, like, try to create something. Okay? So he, like, all right, shuts all the lights off in this, like, giant practice room we were in. He's like, just pick up some...
Take off your pants.
Some fragment of a rhythm or melody. There's no chord changes. There's no progression as far as tempo goes. Just be listening to what everyone else is doing and compose something new on top of that. And so we did.
And how did you feel doing it?
We ended up going, like, from a natural starting point to a natural ending point, about, like, 20 minutes of, like, experimental, like, jazz. You're just, like, in the zone, just, like, feeling it. And I'll be honest, I didn't even feel like that time had passed. Like, I had transcended. And it was done. It ended. And he turned the lights on. He's like, that was really cool, guys. Thank you. So I was like, all right, I guess we did some shit. I don't know.
Then you're like, are you the teacher?
Right.
I don't recognize you.
But no. Then we ended up doing a jazz cover of the tune Caravan. If you know that one, it's a pretty classic standard. And we actually introed the song with like a 3 or 4 minute free jazz intro where like all the noise and the chaos eventually gives way to the drum rhythm coming in. And then we all come into the song after the chaos clears its way. So.
Wow.
I think it can be useful if used in that sort of way of like engaging with other structure. Or if you want to talk like musical theory, like get Sun Ra in here and do some stuff with John Cage. Like there's probably a conversation to be had with that stuff, but it's pretty tough to grapple with just on its own.
That's, I think, what really drew me to it was the fact that I love, you know how much I love this. Like, I was just reading about jazz because I'm trying to understand a little bit better. I want to do more than just have listened to a Miles Davis record or two.
Herbie Hancock is also great.
Sorry?
Herbie Hancock.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm just talking generally. I've listened to a few jazz artists, but I'm just saying I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know anything about jazz. And so I kind of stumbled upon this, like, sub idea of free jazz, and I was like, I love this feeling of not understanding what this is. That's my favorite shit right there, buddy. I love not knowing what's going on. So I listened to the first one I listened to was Unit Structures by Cecil Taylor. And I got kind of lost in it. It's all of these are like at over an hour long or like 45 minutes long. Here's a track called Steps that's just about an eternity long. Probably
I got it.
And like the tone I've noticed of literally every free jazz thing I've heard so far is that no matter how much the musicians are in a slower space or a quieter space, like the one you just heard, they just can't help it. They just go to 11 as fast as they can.
Right.
Like, and then when they get there, they're just screaming at the top of their lungs, their instruments. So I kind of left that feeling, not really sure how I felt yet. I still kind of felt at a loss. I felt I didn't really get what was going on. One thing I did pick up on was every artist in the group. I'm not sure how many people were involved. It's always more fun to say like quartet or octet or whatever, but I don't know. I all felt like they were really talented. I never felt like they were making arbitrary decisions. Kind of like I did with John Cage. I feel like he's just like thought himself into a wet fart. I felt like the Cecil Taylor group was like just talented.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I might not understand what they're doing, but I wouldn't walk out of there feeling like it's just nonsense. That's not how I felt.
There is an ear for what they're doing. The construction is the lack of construction. I guess that makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah, it's intentionally something to be disheveled. Experienced.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We'll get into being intentionally disheveled in after school.
Okay, great.
I listened to...
Oh, God, did I just
free
inadvertently
jazz.
Quote the lead singer of Say Anything?
You mean Max Bemis? Yes, you did.
Oh, that's his name? Bemis. Yep.
Bemis House! So, Free Jazz by Ornette Coleman. I feel like this is the biggie, right? Like, this is the one where it's like the big free jazz statement.
Yeah.
On Spotify, it's in two parts put together. Here's just anywhere in that track.
That was a good part to end on. Nice. So the train is coming at you and you can't be moving.
I read two prominent jazz critics at the time of this release. It was in the late 60s, if I remember correctly. Two prominent jazz critics, one of which gave this album a 10. The other one gave it a 1 and said it was the worst thing to happen in the history of jazz. And any art that has people respond with hatred or love, to me, generally means... some people are afraid of boundaries and some people are really eager to take them down. And I kind of like that sensation. I like the sensation of listening to this, knowing that it's all deconstructive and that, you know, I might not be feeling a lot. I'm not emoting a lot with the music, but I'm feeling overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I like that.
Cool.
The free jazz album, I felt the most, sorry, are you going to say something?
Nope.
Sorry. Okay. Well, I was going to say last one here is the free jazz album I fell the most for. Was Machine Gun by the Peter Brotzman Octet. And I think I fell for it because it's the most accessible, because it has an aesthetic. It's Machine Gun. And you start to get a sense of you know, it gives you a jumping in point to interpret the improv in front of you. And I actually think it's really cool, so I'm going to play a clip of that. Clip of that. It's punishing. It's one of the most punishing listens ever. Because how long is it here? It's 17 minutes.
Wow.
Of that.
Bring the sun.
Yeah, it's like that. In a lot of ways, I actually find this more impressive somehow. Mm-hmm. Like something about it just feels so much more alarming and creative than Swans. But that was really cool. The last thing I want to say about it, though, is that the first time I listened to Machine Gun was at the office job I work at. And at that particular moment, I was caught in between a few phone calls I had to make and that were being made to me. And I don't think there's anything quite so psychologically punishing as this change in tone of going from this... Ring, 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 ring. Hello? No, that's fine. Yeah. No, yeah. Okay, no, don't worry about it at all. We're still on schedule. I'll go ahead and get those over to you in a minute. Yeah, I'll talk to the team. Give me like 10 minutes. Okay, great. Thanks. Bye. What? Sorry, did you say something? No, yeah, I told him I'd send it over. I'm going to send it over. No, I got it. Yeah, 10 minutes. I can't help it. That's how long... Yeah, that's what they told me. Okay. Like, impossible to work like that. It's like actively agitating. I was like somehow way more frustrated I couldn't work through the day listening to it. But it's kind of amazing. It's a really interesting moment in jazz. So I kind of encourage, if anyone who's curious, to listen to something weird and overwhelming, to give it a shot.
Yeah. That sounds wet. That sounds radical.
That sounds wet.
Sounds
really wet. That's it for me.
All right. Just briefly, I re-listened to Teen to Denial since I didn't listen to it the first time. That album's really good. I think I like Twin Fantasy more than that album, though.
Me too.
But man, I love Vincent. I love... I love when they get into the groovy bit of Destroyed by Hippie Powers. I love the song title, Joe Gets Kicked Out of School for Using Drugs with Friends, but Says This Isn't a Problem. That's really good.
William Toledo knows a thing or two, I'll tell you what.
Friends are better with drugs, are better with friends, are better with... Great chorus.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I enjoyed that on a re-listen. And I also went back to some Vampire Weekend stuff, which we'll talk about Contra on the After School special. But I went back, we listened to the self-titled, and man, I love that self-titled. That thing is a concise freaking album. It's 34, 32 minutes. It's just, it's an aesthetic. And I get, like, you don't like the aesthetic, you may not care for the album, but something about the sound on that thing is just gorgeous. I love it.
Yeah, it's an impressive moment in music.
I know we'll get into this, but I think I still rank them in least favorite to favorite, Contra, Modern Vampires, self-titled.
That's crazy.
I'm sorry.
We'll get into that later, but that's crazy.
All right, that's all I got.
You're full. You're full, Charlie.
Okay, that's it. So what are we listening to next week?
Oh, what an excellent question. So we have a few options here.
Talk me through them.
Let me pull up my list. Because kind of a lot of stuff happening. I'm kind of curious to check out the new Fisher Spooner record. Although I'm not married to that necessarily. I think it might be a good time to talk about a really difficult album that's punishing to listen to, but I think, and maybe we'll bring up some things that are uncomfortable to talk about on a podcast. But it's, I don't know. I think there's conversations worth having. So JPEG Mafia's Veteran was released a few weeks ago. An extremely charged record. No fun to be had. It's experimental rap. Maybe remember him if you've been listening to the show for a while. From the track I Might Vote for Donald Trump, which was probably the darkest rap song I've heard. Just really loud and in your face. And it's a lot of that. It's a whole lot of that.
He won the Beatsy for Best Album Art that year too, didn't he?
He did, and they changed it on Spotify, which is a shame. Yeah. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about covering
that? I say let's go for it. I haven't really gotten into it, and I'm intrigued to.
Yeah.
Cool.
Or, you know, the other option was Amen by Rich Brian, because he's kind of a internet blowing up right now. Yeah. But
no, let's go to JPEG Mafia.
All right.
Good. Okay, so that'll be the focus. What's the album title?
Veteran, because he is a military veteran.
Right. Sweet. So we'll check out JPEG Mafia's Veteran. We'll also be taking a look at the latest charting single on the Billboard, which is Look Alive by Blockboy JB featuring Drake.
Okay, great. I love Drake.
Well, we just talked about him a couple weeks ago, and we'll see him again on a feature spot.
I'm happy. Let's keep talking about
him. Okay.
Every day, every week.
That'll do it for the regular portion of this week's show. If you want to get in contact with us, you know how to do it. See us on all the social media pages, which you can find a link to on this podcast episode's description. You can find us at our Podomatic page, in the iTunes feed, on Facebook, you name it. We're out there. So say hey. We'd love to hear from you. We appreciate your support along the way. And just one last time, don't forget to tune into that After School special number 3, which will be coming out shortly here. Again, the albums we'll be talking about are Vampire Weekend's Contra, Say Anything's Is a Real Boy, and Soulja Boy's SouljaBoysLM.com. If that doesn't get you excited to revisit a certain moment in time, I'm not sure what will.
I think SoldierBoyTellem.com is what people are referring to when they use the phrase the dark web.
Yeah. You see those commercials for the Olympics? It's like, is my information on the dark web? Like, I don't even have a browser to open up the dark web. How do I get on that? Is it like incognito? Is that the dark web? Because the browser goes all black?
Yeah, just whenever your computer turns off, you're on the dark
gotcha.
Web.
See, I should have known. I knew it was a scam.
Yeah. Now I have your social security number. Boom!
Oh, man. All right. Well, that'll do it for us on this week of Weekly Beats. We'll see you next week for JPEG Mafia and Blockboy JB. Until next time, play that outro music! God.